Welcome into the Big Z Sports Podcast here on 99.9 WTUZ, online to WTUZ.com. Eric McElroy, Chris Kale, no Joe Geckler today, maybe a little bit under the weather. Roads are bad, we understand all that stuff. But of course, you'll hear Joe again Friday during the Big Z Sports Show. Our podcast, our weekly podcast, brought to you by Action Extreme Sports, 241 16th Street, New Philadelphia. Listen, family-owned and operated right down the road from us in New Philadelphia, Action Extreme Sports. They'll provide you with the latest and best in power sports products. Don't forget about their service. Go see more, not only at their beautiful showroom, but on Facebook and online at aesracing.com. Chris Kale, we'll start with our weekly podcast with the high school report, a bunch of action from Saturday and over the weekend, even with some of the cold weather still. These games are still being played.
Oh, yeah, they're still being played, even though most of the schools called off because of cold weather on Friday. They still played them. Friday night basketball, Indian Valley. They remain undefeated at 9-0, 6-0 in the IVC after squeezing by Highland 42-37. Dropping Highland to 6-4, 4-1 in the IVC. The Braves out rebounded the Hawks 36-25. They were led on the boards with by Cade Williams rather and Braden Rostad. They had 12 each. Williams also tallied 16 points, and Carson Hartrick added 12 to lead the way for the Braves. Highland shot 15-39 from the floor and 5-14 from behind the arc. That will do you in. Kobe Troyer led the Hawks with 13 points. Braves 9-0, man. They're almost to that 10-0 mark where the football team was.
Yeah, well, how crazy is that? Football team, first ever undefeated regular season, and now basketball team undefeated as of right now, too. So we'll see how far they can take it.
Yeah, that was a big win for them against Highland. Yeah. Highland always a perennial in the IVC.
Yeah, they shot a poor percentage, like you mentioned, in that game, which kind of led to their demise, probably. Yeah, knock in a few more of those, it's maybe a different outcome.
Yeah, and give credit to Indian Valley's defense.
Definitely.
Playing well. Those kids are doing a great job. New Philadelphia, they took care of Cambridge 62-49 as Nate Vole and Joe Boos had 20 apiece to lead the Quakers. New Philadelphia improves to 7-3, 5-2 in the ECOL. Cambridge drops to 3-7 and 2-5 after shooting just 19-45 from the floor. So another poor shooting performance by a team in our area, Cambridge, on the bad end of that one. New Philadelphia gets the win. Dover used a 20-6 second quarter run to give them a lead that they would not relinquish as they beat Coshocton 56-32. Dover moves to 5-5, 4-3 in the ECOL. They were led by Nick Milliner with 15 points, Ian Sexton with 12. Coshocton falls to 4-7 and 1-6 in the ECOL. Garaway, they hammered Claymont 72-32 as the Pirates jumped out. Jumped to 6-2, rather 4-1 in the IVC. Claymont drops to 2-7 and 1-4. Strasburg took care of Ridgewood to move to 9-1. Another one of those teams that's just really playing well is the Tigers. They beat Ridgewood 65-37 as Andrew Cregan put in 20 points. Mitch Niedenthal added 18. Chase Griffith led the 3-7 Generals with 13 points.
Think about Strasburg, they're getting it done with their defensive units.
So. Yeah, they're very much playing well. And Strasburg, you know, I said it last year, this was a team that could go deep into the playoffs. And I think, again, we've got Indian Valley, Strasburg, Highland, a lot of good teams in this area that could go deep. Yeah. New Philadelphia, another one. Sandy Valley snuck by Malvern 37-34 as Dan Bartholomew led the way with 15 points for the 7-2 Cardinals. Mark Maley paced the Hornets with 14, who dropped to 7-3. TCC improves to 4-7 as they defeat Tuskegee Valley, who falls to 2-7. Alliance over Carrollton 53-38. Buckeye Trail tore up Newcomberstown 57-22. Lexington over West Holmes 68-50. East Canton defeated Conotton Valley 71-59, and on Saturday, a couple boys games. St. Clairsville over Claymont, 82-41. Murphy White had 13 for the Mustangs, and Fairless over Tuskegee Valley, 57-49. Jack Laney had 19 for Fairless. Mason Degler had 12. Jeremy Salvo led the Trojans with 15 points. Moving into girls action from Saturday, New Philadelphia completed the season sweep of the Zanesville Blue Devils with a 59-38 win. The Lady Quakers now 7-0 in the ECOL and 11-2 overall. Aaliyah Currents, another strong game by her, 21 points. Rachel Anderson added 14. Zanesville drops to 6-7. Tuskegee Valley, You ready for this, Eric? You are sitting down.
I am sitting down. I heard this once already, but I'll sit down again.
How about a 90-point win in girls basketball?
What was it, 110 to 20, right?
110 to 20. Tuskegee Valley obliterated newcomer style.
Call off the dogs.
Call off the dogs. How do you... Wow.
I don't know. 110 points. I don't know how you bounce back from that. If you're a coach, don't even talk about it. I mean, just move on to the next
game. Yeah, just move on. But what I'm wondering is how you put up 110 points. I mean, I'm hoping that they weren't pressing.
Everything's going in that night for you if you put up 110 points.
I mean, I'm hoping you're not up 90 to 18 and you're pressing.
Right.
I'm just going to say that. You know what I mean?
Full court press, getting steals and launching threes still.
Tuskegee Valley, they got... Boston McKinney broke the Tuskegee Valley girls' all-time basketball assist record of 387. That record has stood since 1975. Congratulations to Boston McKinney for that record. The Lady Trojans, they improved to 10-1, 6-0 in the IVC as Allie Shane led the way with 18 points. Maddie Fish led the Lady Trojans with 9. Garraway all over Strasburg, 71-18, as Kaylee Regula led the way with 15 points. Alyssa Sims paced the Lady Tigers with 7 points. Marietta snuck by Dover, 60-58. Jordan Kaiser dropped a 3-pointer that tied it up with 18 seconds to play. Marietta, they got a layup with 2 seconds to play to secure the win. To improve to 4-7, Dover falls to 6-6, 3-4 in the ECUL. Sam Blair with 20 points for the Tornadoes.
That was a crazy sequence down the stretch, though, in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jordan Kaiser dropped in that 3 to tie it up, and then, you know, defense just gave up a bucket towards the end.
That's basketball for you. Once you hit that 3, you got to get back.
Yeah. There
they didn't
you
get
go.
Back.
Get back.
And get back on defense is what
exactly.
I mean.
Exactly. I know. I'm just messing.
Malvern. I see what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Malvern got by Ridgewood 57-50 as Kelsey Hewlett dropped 27. As the Lady Hornets improved to 9-3, 5-1 in the IBC. Kaylee Rectus led the Lady Generals with 17. East Canton over Claymont 58-43. Milana Harmon leading the way once again for the Lady Mustangs with 14 points. Madison Garrett with 13. Sandy Valley beat Indian Valley 43-23 as Carly Altimore put up 21 points for the 7-5 Lady Cards. Emily Love paced the Lady Braves with 6 points. And the final game on the girls' side, Highland beat Cleveland John Hay 59-37. Kennedy Schlabaugh 10 points as the Lady Hawks improved to 9-2. On the wrestling side, Claymont over Solon in that throwback game at the Pit, Eric, 45-24. We talked about Solon, a good wrestling program. Claymont, they're pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. But Claymont, too much for Solon that night, which, I mean, hey, that's a nice win for him. A team that obviously not in this area, going outside of the realm a little bit.
Yeah, awesome to have that match back at the Pit in the old high school gym, the friendly confines.
I'm sure it was a ruckus arena.
Yeah, when I say confines, it's confined in there.
I'm sure it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Much like the studio, probably.
Yes, maybe could be. Yes, could be. Jarrett Warrington, Aaron Snyder, Ashton Eiler, Blake Leinard, and Lyle Clark got pins for the Mustangs. Dover finished fourth at the Larry Remmert Invitational at Sheridan as Miguel Estep and Mason Contini got titles for the Tornadoes. Indian Valley over West Holmes 54-18. Jacob Armstrong, Matt Love, Brody Parsons, Tanner Quillen, and Theron Steller all got pins for the Braves. Actually, I think that's Stalker. Yes, Theron Stalker.
Well,
I can't read my own writing.
It's your handwriting.
It is, and it's terrible. So sorry, folks. Sorry, Theron, I should say, as Indian Valley wins. Swimming, Dover girls defeated Columbus Academy 115-52 to improve to 6-1, led by Emmy Wallach and Caitlin Henning with 4 first place finishes. The boys dropped to 4-3 with a 98-72 loss. And in bowling, the Indian Valley girls captured the Garraway Invitational at Wabash Lanes in New Philadelphia on Saturday, defeating host Garraway, and St. Clairsville won on the boys' side over Dover, who finished second. That is your high school sports report for January 8th, 2018.
Thank you, Chris Kale. Of course, we're on Facebook Live right now, thanks to Speedy Septic. Audio version of this podcast we'll go up on our website once we're done, WTUZ.com. Click on the sports tab. It'll take you Right to It, our weekly podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports. Chris, over the weekend, wild card action in the NFL. It came to an end now, but we'll talk about the games on Saturday first. The Titans over the Chiefs, 22-21, the slimmest of margins, a one-point victory. Tennessee, though, rallied from that 21-3 deficit, though.
Yeah, they did. You know, down 21-3. I was watching a little bit of that game here and there, and, you know, I thought 21-3 at the half, the Chiefs were going to control that game, but it was almost like Music City Miracle Time. I had that in the back of my head, and Marcus Mariota did what he needed to do, brought him back, and they get the 22-21 win and get a date with the New England Patriots.
Now, let me ask you this. The loss of Travis Kelce, tight end Travis Kelce, in that game for the Chiefs, who, by the way, Ohio native, for those who didn't know, that played a big role in that game, because once he went out, seemingly the Chiefs' offense went away once that happened.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I didn't agree with, you know, going down the stretch. I thought Kansas City was, the play calling wasn't the best. The one on fourth down, he just chucks the ball down the middle of the field. You know, it was what, fourth and two, fourth and three? I mean, run an out, run something, and they were going like for a home run ball at the 30-yard line. I didn't get that. Some of the play calling was a little wishy-washy to me.
It's funny you say that, because the play calling in Kansas City has been questioned all year long. Of course, head coach Andy Reid, he even brought somebody in to start calling the plays, and he gave up that duty like the past 4 weeks of the regular season. But yeah, it kind of reared its ugly head again in that game.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, I would have liked to have seen Kansas City move on, but you know what? Congratulations to the Titans and their fans. They're getting a win for the first time in a while in the playoffs, and like I said, let's hope they I got mixed feelings. I don't know. Part of me wants them to go knock off New England. The other part of me wants a shot at New England. You know, if you get to the Super Bowl, you want to beat the best to get there, and that's kind of the way I feel.
This game, Marcus Mariota, who didn't have a real good regular season, 205 through the air, a touchdown in that pick. Alex Smith, who maybe could be the next Cleveland Browns quarterback, 264 through the air and a couple of touchdowns. Marcus Mariota also had 46 yards on the ground. And Saturday, the Falcons over the Rams, 26-13. The Rams kind of showed in that game how young they really are, Chris.
Yeah, they did. And we talked about it Friday night, Eric. I thought that there was a chance that Jared Goff was going to show maybe a little bit of an experience. Same with Todd Gurley and those guys. And they definitely did. Atlanta just too much down the stretch. I'll tell you what. Matt Ryan, you can say what you want, but they've been a hot team the second half of the year, and they're dangerous right now. They're real dangerous.
Yeah, Jared Goff, and you mentioned him, a touchdown, 259. Todd Gurley had 14 carries, 101 yards, a 7.2-yard average.
14 carries, really?
Yeah, that 33-yard carry certainly helped him out. And then a Julio Jones, he had 9 catches, 94 yards, a touchdown. Actually had the ball on a reverse, too, so they got the ball in his hands 10 different times. In terms of wide receivers in the NFL, it's Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, probably tied for first, and then everybody else after that.
Yeah, I agree.
A.J. Green, close second, but he kind of had a down year this year. But yeah, the Falcons showed why, you know, they're a playoff-tested team, and even Matt Ryan said it after the game. We feel like we're more tested because of what we went through this regular season than they were last year.
I agree. I don't know that they get back to the Super Bowl. I think the NFC is very tight.
Stacked.
Yeah, it's very tight. They're going to have to play. Who do they get? Minnesota?
No, Falcons and Eagles next week.
Ah, they get a trip. That's right. They get a trip to Philly. I think they got a good shot to beat Philly. Obviously, no Carson Wentz is a big factor. Nick Foles did not look good in the last couple starts he had. I kind of like it.
We'll get to those games in a moment. Sunday, yesterday, the sixth lowest scoring playoff game in NFL history, the Jags over the Bills, 10-3. And an exciting affair, Chris, between two teams who hadn't been to the playoffs in a long, long time, but the Jags get it done.
Yeah, and what did we say? That it could probably home field advantage. We said it on Friday night when me and you were talking. That game could be very low scoring, and it could come down to that home field advantage as to why Jacksonville got over the hump, even though there might have been more Baltimore or more Buffalo fans there than Jacksonville. They still got the win.
You're right about that. We did call it Friday night during the Big Z Sports Show a low-scoring game. 20 first downs from Buffalo, 15 from Jacksonville. As I look at total yards, only 263 for Buffalo and 230 for Jacksonville in a league right now that's geared towards putting points on the board, and every rule seemingly favors the offense.
Yes.
But granted, these were two of the better defensive teams in the NFL going at it in this game. So yeah. For those folks who like defense, maybe it was their kind of game, right?
Yeah, if you like defense, it was your way to go. I mean, it's a low-scoring contest. They definitely played hard. Did you see the hit at the end of the game, though, on Tyrod Taylor?
I did,
Did you think anything – do you think that was a dirty play? I mean, he had him by the neck.
I don't think there was a flag, was there?
No, there was not. Yeah, was no flag. It was almost like a choke slam.
Almost. At that point in time, he was considered a runner, right?
You're right.
He gave himself up as a protected quarterback at that time because he was running the football. It's a tough call, although he didn't grab him, by the back of the jersey. Wasn't that horse collar tackle? He didn't grab the face mask.
Right.
I think, really, to be honest with you, a tackle around the neck like that is legal, just like we've seen before with guys with long hair hanging out with dreadlocks.
Yep.
You're allowed to grab those and bring down the ball carrier. So, no flag was thrown on that. But, did it change the outcome of the game? Who really knows? Because Taylor had to go out for a couple of plays, and Peterman had to come in for a short period of time.
He throws a pick.
How about that pick, though?
Beautiful catch.
Yeah, beautiful interception.
But here's the bottom line. Nathan Peterman comes in and throws, four interceptions in two quarters when he got his first ever start?
Through five total.
Or five total, yeah. I think it was four in the first two. Yeah, he didn't even finish the game, I don't think, and... you kind of thought, uh-oh.
Yeah, that was a few weeks ago. Tyrod Taylor, this game full of bad quarterback play. Trust me, I'm a Browns fan. I know bad quarterback play when I see it. Tyrod Taylor, 17 of 37. That's 20 incompletions, 134 yards, an interception, quarterback rating of 44. Blake Bortles, not much better. 12 of 23, 87 yards. He did have that touchdown, which... I mean, was the game winner, I guess. Quarterback rating of 75. Blake Bortles, though, had 10 carries for 88 yards, too. His ability to scramble, get out of the pocket, and pick up a couple key first downs, that was the difference on a few drives.
That touchdown for that tight end by Jacksonville, that was his first touchdown catch since last game of last year.
Gotcha.
So, it is what it is. I thought it was abysmal play. I agree with you 100%.
Don't know if it was really good defense or bad offense. I guess we'll find out next week when Jacksonville goes to play your Pittsburgh Steelers, which they beat, by the way, 45 to what?
Threw five picks that game.
Uh-huh.
But hey, weather wasn't a factor in that game either. That game was not in Buffalo. That game was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, South Florida,
just
right
for
there.
The record.
Also yesterday, Saints over the Panthers in an NFC South showdown for Wild Card Weekend. Saints 31-26. Panthers struggled early, kind of cost them. They rallied late. But it wasn't enough for him. Cam Newton, not only beat up throughout the regular season, beat up in this game as well.
Yeah, I seen that he was pretty banged up. But you know what? We said that he was going to have to put them on his back, and he was going to have to do monstrous things. And when he was in and out, you just knew that that wasn't going to be the case. And I'll tell you what, New Orleans, another team that's dangerous. Kamara, man, that kid is him and Thomas, lightning in a bottle, man, both of them.
We talked about bad quarterback play a few moments ago. What about good quarterback play? We saw it in this game. Cam, 349, two touchdowns. He also ran the ball for 30-something yards. But Drew Brees, only 10 incompletions, 23 of 33, 376 yards, a touchdown. He did have that pick as well. Your boy Alvin Kamara, though, he only had 10 carries, 23 yards, did have the touchdown.
Yeah, what did Michael Thomas have?
Former Buckeye. Actually, two Buckeyes here for the Saints with Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr. Thomas had 8 for 131. Teddy Ginn had 4 for 115, including that 80-yarder.
Yeah.
115 and a touchdown for Ted Ginn Jr. So now that takes us to the divisional round, Chris, where next week on Saturday, the Falcons at the Eagles. Atlanta surprisingly favored in this game in Philadelphia by 3 points. But you already mentioned it. Nick Foles, obviously under center for Philly. MVP candidate Carson Wentz done the rest of this season.
Yeah, and I think that's a big factor. But how about that? You're the number one seed in the NFC, and you're in a divisional round at home And you're not favored.
And you're the underdog. If Carson Wentz were alive and healthy, I mean, he's alive. Don't get me wrong. If he were healthy, would this line be different? Would it be Philly favored?
Yes, definitely. I definitely think that.
It wouldn't be Philly favored by three. Probably like point and a half or something.
Yeah, it would be tight, but I think they would still be favored for the fact that it's a home game and you've got your starting quarterback who is an MVP candidate. I like Atlanta in this game. We'll talk more about that on Friday, but who do you like?
I'm not giving predictions yet. I'm waiting until Friday.
Okay, we're waiting until Friday?
Tight. Right, we'll wait till Friday. Just because I don't know. I'm going to have to dig more into that game. Okay. Titans at Patriots. It won't. I can tell you who's going to win this one now. New England favored by 13.5 points. That's the largest line of the weekend. You think the rift between what they're saying between Brady and Belichick and front office, think that has any bearing on this playoff run the Patriots about to embark on?
No.
They're the Pats, right?
Nay.
What does that mean?
I just mean nay. I don't think that it matters. I think that it's all smoke and mirrors. But if Tennessee beats them, that's going to be the excuse. You know what I mean? I think it's just a way for another excuse to come out of New England. We saw what happened there numerous times, and we're beating a dead horse there. But I think I think they win this game going away.
New England's defense has struggled a time or two throughout the season, but the Titans will need their best offensive performance of the season probably. I don't know if DeMarco Murray will play in that game or not.
And give it to Derrick Henry. He had a great game the
other
day.
Yeah, he did.
Give the kid the ball. Let him go.
Yeah, he had over 100 yards and a touchdown in that game. Jags at Steelers Sunday, January the 14th. Pittsburgh favored by 7.5. We mentioned that game earlier in the season when the final, what was it again, 45-10?
Yeah, it was something.
What else went wrong in that game for you guys?
A lot. Ben just threw five picks. He targeted Antonio Brown on three of those five picks, and it was one of those trip up games where the Pittsburgh just
in Pittsburgh too, by the way.
They just got down early. They got down and that was just snowballed.
Don't think the Steelers don't remember that, and if you're the Jags, you don't want to be reading your own headlines going into that game. And then Saints at the Vikings on Sunday evening to sort of wrap up the divisional round. Minnesota favored by 4. The quarterbacks in this game, Drew Brees versus Case Keenum? Say what?
I'll tell you what. I think these Sunday games both have the potential to be the best games of the weekend. I think the Steelers-Jags game could be very good, and I think the Minnesota-New Orleans game could be very good. You know, Case Keenum been playing really, really good football right now.
That
Adam
defense,
Thielen has been a beast. You know, they've still got Diggs out there. Their running game's been working here and there. They've got a lot of good, but then you got Drew Brees and that high-powered offense with, you know, Michael Thomas and, like you said, Ted Ginn and Kamara and, you know, Ingram. This could be a really high-scoring game. These could be two really good games on Sunday.
Make sure you join us Friday on the Big Z Sports Show. We'll break down the divisional round a little more, make our predictions, and hopefully chat with some NFL analysts, maybe Mo Egger once again from ESPN in Cincinnati. It's our Big Z Sports Weekly Podcast presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. By the way, Chris, over the weekend when we picked these playoff games, you went 3-1, my friend. The only one you got wrong was that Kansas City game. We all got that one wrong. Joe went 2-2. He got both of the games yesterday correct. I went 2-2 as well. I split. Got one correct on Saturday, one correct yesterday. But we will make one more prediction. I do have Joe's, too. That's the national championship tonight for college football being played in the South by two teams in the South. Chris, Alabama, that's my Southern accent, versus Georgia, the Dogs, and the Crimson Tide. Georgia coming in at 13-1. Alabama, 12-1. Crimson Tide favored by 4 points in this game.
Man, this is a trap game for me because all the analysts and everybody else are saying that Alabama's going to run away with this game. And I just don't see it. I don't think that it's going to be a runaway. Alabama's got a lot of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the football. You've got the kid with two first names, Michelle something, whatever his name is, from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And then they've got Nick Chubb, of course. Chubb's a beast. You know, they got a young quarterback who loves to throw the ball. He's from Warner Robins, Georgia, where I lived for almost 5 years. Kid Jake Fromm's a good quarterback. And, I don't see Alabama running away from these guys. I think that if they put pressure on Jalen Hurts and get him uncomfortable, especially as dinged up as Alabama's defense is, I think Georgia's got a shot in this game. I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to say the Georgia Bulldogs win 35-32.
Wow, giving your prediction just like that. All right, so you're going with who again, did you just say?
Georgia, the Dogs? 35-32.
Got you there. I tell you what, it's funny that Vegas, as soon as the final four teams came out for the college football playoff rankings, Vegas right off the bat picked Bama to win this whole thing. Once again, favored in this game tonight. I think a lot comes down to, like you mentioned, Chris, the Alabama defensive unit, especially the front seven for Alabama. You mentioned Chubb and Sonny Michel as your
Sonny,
guy.
Sonny, that's okay. Yeah.
The two running backs for Georgia. If those two running backs were able to get off like they got off in the semifinal game against the Oklahoma Sooners, then look at it. It kind of frees up Fromm then for the quarterback for Georgia to do whatever he wants. But if that Bama defense plays like they did against Clemson, and they're able to make their opponent sort of one-dimensional, and Alabama plays at their pace, and we all know Nick Saban's a great coach. That's how Alabama can win this game. I tell you what, though, when it's all said and done, let me tail the tape a little bit, if you will. Points per game, Alabama 37, Georgia 36. Total yards a game, 449 for Bama, 440 for Georgia. Yards allowed per game, 257 for Alabama, 270 for Georgia. Obviously, two great defense. I mean, listen, Georgia's defense is no snub either, although they didn't show how good they really are in that semifinal game to Oklahoma when they give up 48 points in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's all said and done tonight, though, I would like to see Georgia winning their first national championship in, I don't know how long it was. Wasn't it the 80s?
Yeah, that Herschel Walker back then.
Did he win one back
Herschel,
then for him?
I think Herschel days, yep.
I'll go with Georgia tonight. Not a high-scoring game like you predicted there, Chris Kale. Georgia, for me tonight, I'll call it 28-23 there.
Okay.
Final tonight for the Dogs. Joe Gekler, who's not present this evening, or this afternoon.
This morning.
He decided Bama's wins with a late field goal, 24-21. So that's Joe Gekler's prediction right there.
And we talked last week, and I'll ask you your opinion on this. We talked last week when we did our podcast that only the people in the South was going to watch is what Joe said. I said, I disagree 100%. It's a national championship game. It doesn't matter if it's New Orleans and Tennessee in the Super Bowl. People are going to watch because it's a Super Bowl. Everybody in the North is still going to watch. If it was Minnesota and Pittsburgh, everybody's still going to watch in the South because it's the Super Bowl. Same thing with the NBA. You know what I mean? If it's two teams out West, people on the East Coast are still going to watch because it's a championship game. Joe disagreed. He said he thinks it's going to be only the people in the SEC that watch it. I disagree. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I know. People will watch this game tonight. It's football, right?
I agree.
Is it the only football game on
tonight?
It's
the last one.
Yeah, it's the national championship. There's going to be a lot of people that tune in to check this game out. Although it'll be interesting. We'll compare ratings. We'll see if last year's game between still two teams kind of in the South.
Yeah.
South Carolina, that's where Clemson's at. And Alabama again last year. College basketball now. We'll sort of recap the weekend. How about this? On Friday, Akron was at Toledo. The Rockets over the Zips, 67-65. Jalen Sanford had 22 points, including the game winner with 13 seconds left for Toledo. On Saturday, more games from the MAC. Ohio beat Northern Illinois, 78-68. Kent State over Central Michigan, 85-69. How about this? On Friday when we had Mo Egger on and we touched on college basketball, Joe and Mo were praising Xavier, saying they were one of the best teams in the country, top five. They lost to Providence on Saturday night, 81-72. Bad loss for them. Number six, West Virginia beat number seven, Oklahoma. Saw a little bit of this game, 89-76. And then also number 10, Kansas snuck by TCU, 88-84. Kansas kind of down a little bit this year. But the game everyone's talking about was the one yesterday. Number one went down, and they went down in Columbus. Ohio State over number one, Michigan State, 80-64. Think we're all shocked the Buckeyes won this game. Think we're all doubly shocked that they won this game by the margin that they did.
I agree 100%. I was following it on my way over to the City of Champions.
Whatever.
I was keeping my eye on everything, and man, I couldn't believe it. They got the lead after a 12-0 run to go into halftime.
Uh-huh.
And then they just trounced them in the second half. And I'll tell you what, Kata Bates-Diop is really starting to come to form. I love the way Chris Holtmann has this team playing. They're fun. They're energetic. They're up and down the floor. And it's total opposite of what Thad Matta had them last year. And a lot of these kids are the same kids.
Yeah, 13-4 now are the Buckeyes, undefeated, 4-0 in Big Ten play. The Spartans fall to 15-2, excuse me, as I drop my phone. Sparty's only two losses to Duke, first game of the year, and now to Ohio State in Columbus yesterday. You mentioned Kata Bates-Diop, 32 points. That was a career high for him. The other night against Iowa, he dropped like 27 points.
Too. Yeah.
So he's been hot the past couple of games. And sort of, like you said, coming into his own. I don't know if Chris Holtmann has anything to do with that. Kata Bates-Diop, he's been in Columbus playing basketball for a few years. So it's just maybe the maturity coming along and in his game coming along.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a coincidence either. I think, like I said, you know, most of these kids, with the exception of a couple guys, are the same kids that were there under Thad Matta. And yeah, a year of growth and a year of playing the game of basketball at the collegiate level makes a difference. Of course it does. But when you bring in a fresh face and, you know, a fresh offense and style of play, it's definitely going to help the way things go and how things transpire. And I think it's showing on the court. The Buckeyes were not ranked, but I think at 13-4 and undefeated in the Big Ten, leading the Big Ten, I think they have to be ranked when the rankings come out today.
Yeah, which they will come out today, and I don't know if they're out yet.
I thought it was this afternoon, but I could be wrong.
The rankings are out. You ready? AP poll?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, because I don't have my phone. It's
latest college basketball rankings, and as I look on here, some folks may be shocked that the Buckeyes aren't even on this list, to be honest with you. Is this even, can this be correct right now?
It can't. Does it have the Buckeyes 13-4? Does it have Michigan State dropping out of first?
Yeah, the Buckeyes aren't even ranked here this week.
How are they not ranked when they just knocked off number one? They're 13-4 and leading the Big Ten.
All right, here we go. The top five, Villanova takes over the number one spot. West Virginia, Virginia at number three. Michigan State at four. They fall from 1-4. Purdue from the Big Ten at number five.
They're the other undefeated team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, so no Ohio State. Creighton's number 25, Tennessee 24, and then you have Florida State, Auburn. Yeah, others receiving votes. Ohio State, they received 29 votes, not enough to get them in. I'm assuming that OSU down there is indeed Ohio State.
Wow.
But yeah, kind of surprising. They did not make the top 25. Cincinnati, who beat SMU last night by 20, they jumped from number 19 all the way to number 14. So there are the latest AP rankings for college basketball. Once again, surprising Ohio State. Not in the top 25. Well, hey, keep that as motivation then for the Buckeyes, you know. It'll keep them a little hungry. I'm sure they thought they would be within the top 25 at this point in time. But especially after that win yesterday.
You think they're an NCAA team? Tournament team?
That was actually a yay or nay question for Friday, which we didn't get to yay or nay on Friday. One of the questions was the Buckeye, yay or nay, Chris, the Buckeyes will make the NCAA tournament this year.
Yay.
I was going to say nay on Friday night, but after
really?
This win on Sunday, it might be changing my nay to yay.
Even 12-5 and only one loss in the Big Ten, you still don't think? I mean, You finish in the top six or so in the Big Ten, you're probably going to go to the tournament.
Yeah,
you're probably going to go to the dance.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know where the Buckeyes finished last year in the Big Ten. They weren't in last year.
Yeah, they were
terrible. But before, on Friday, when I posed that question, my answer was no.
Okay.
And, but before that, the teams they played, everybody good that they played, they lost those games. And they really haven't, other than that, their big wins. I mean, Iowa was a big win on the road. Other than that, now Michigan State, obviously, their biggest win, and that's a nice resume boost for the Buckeyes.
I think they're seven wins away from securing an NCAA tournament berth. You get to 20 wins in a power conference, in a power five conference, you're probably going to go to the dance. And then, you know, what do they play, like 32 games? 30, 32, somewhere in there. And then,
conference
tournament games. It'll be a big deal whenever Purdue comes to town. How long has it been since Ohio State Purdue have met in a very meaningful game in the Big Ten? Probably been a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I was pulling up the rest of the Buckeyes' schedule. They still have to play, I'm not going to give Homer away, but they play Maryland, Rutgers, Northwestern, Minnesota, Nebraska, Penn State, Indiana, Illinois, Purdue. That's not till February the 7th. Iowa, again, and Penn State. One team I don't see on there, Michigan, but I think they may have played them already this year and defeated them.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, they did. They beat them back on Monday, December the 4th. Anyway, we'll move on to the NBA now. The Cavs on Saturday, Chris, they beat the Orlando Magic but gave up 127 points in the process. 131-127 the final. Isaiah Thomas was on the floor that night. 19 points, 21 minutes. Did have 5 turnovers, but still looked pretty decent in limited action.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did. And, you know, he's going to be on those minutes restriction for a little while. He did start the game. I think he brings a lot of energy to the Cavs. I just hope he stays healthy. I hope the Cavs can stay healthy. I hope both teams can stay healthy between Boston and Cleveland. They can meet in the Eastern Conference Finals again and see where we're at. You know what I mean, that's kind of what I'm hoping.
I think we're on a collision course towards that right now, although Boston's first, Toronto second, Cleveland third in terms of the Eastern Conference standings. The thing I like about Isaiah Thomas, the Cavs, when he's on the floor, it seems like their pace of play, offensively at least, is a little different, faster, obviously. LeBron on Saturday, get this stat line, Chris, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 6 steals, and 1 block. Aaron Gordon, though, for the Magic, he chipped in 30 points. Cavs defense, though, you worried, 107 points per game is what they give up on average right now. This was an issue last year in the regular season, and it's becoming a big issue again this year.
Defense wins championships, right? Look at what we talked about Friday night. We talked about Boston's defense. You told me Boston's defense worries you. Well, now they 3 games in a row now, they've held their opponents to their lowest point total of the season. And all 3 of those teams, pretty good teams. Well,
Brooklyn not
so much. But yeah, but you look at Houston and you look at Cleveland, and they held them down to the lowest point totals. That's pretty impressive.
Now that is something against Brooklyn. I mean,
but still, your defense still playing well. I agree with you. I think they need to correct that, or it's going to become a problem down the road.
And that's all Brad Stevens right there to get an NBA team to actually play defense, and he's done it for a few years in a row now. Tonight, the Cavs at the T-Wolves. That's at 8 o'clock. Cleveland going for a couple wins in a row now. Then the rest of the week, at Toronto on Thursday, at Indiana on Friday. Then on Monday, which is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the 15th, the Cavs and the Warriors, that one. This time at the Q in downtown Cleveland. So we're 1 week away from the rematch this season.
Yes, we are 1 week away. I think it's going to be the same thing that you said with the Boston game. I don't think you hold much stock in it because guys are still trying to get healthy and trying to get situated and whatnot, but still an important game because every game counts.
The big difference in that game, or at least I would assume a week from tonight against the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry will be back in that game. He didn't play Christmas Day. Isaiah Thomas will probably play for the Cavs. He did not play on Christmas Day either. Boston, as I mentioned, leads the East 33-10. Toronto, second place Cavs, 5 games out of first place, 26-13, their record. Top 3 in the West, Golden State, Houston, and then San Antonio, then Minnesota, surprisingly, one of those young up-and-coming teams. They're the 4th seed out there out West. I say that because that's who the Cavs play there tonight. Hey, other notes and news and nuggets. You were busy last night.
I was.
What do they call that, the Ice House over there?
No, that is PPG Paints Arena.
What, they don't call it the Ice House?
No.
Okay, I don't know. What. Maybe I just made that up.
You might have.
But you went to one heck of a game.
It used to be the Igloo.
There you go.
That was Mellon Arena.
That was years ago.
Yes, that was Mellon Arena.
You decided to go to a heck of a game, though, in overtime. The Pens over the Bruins, right? 6-5, the final?
Yes, 6-5. A hockey game finished at 6-5 is pretty good. Of course, my wonderful daughter, Brittany, got us tickets to have a father-daughter day to go away to Pittsburgh, go over to a game. So we left about noon, went over, took in some sights and sounds, ate some Permini Brothers, and did it up right, and got to see one heck of a game. I think we were about the first ones in the parking lot, the first ones there because we got there way early. So we were like, you know what, let's just go in and sit down and chill out. So I think we were the first ones. I don't even think they turned a scoreboard on by the time we walked in.
Yeah, well, you wanted to plan ahead, get there in plenty of time.
Yeah, you might as well. But yeah, the game, outstanding. Pittsburgh jumped out to a 3-1 lead. I put some pictures up on our Facebook page. They jumped out to a 3-1 lead at the end of the first. Then, Boston comes back and scores 4 goals in the second. Pittsburgh plays terrible defense, terrible offense. And then they come back in the third period. They tied it up. went to overtime, and Evgeny Malkin knocked in one on three-on-three play in overtime. I was hoping they'd go to a shootout, but the three-on-three goal that Evgeny Malkin put in was right in front of us. That was a big game. Boston, one of those teams that's very good in the Metropolitan Division.
One of the original six, right?
Yeah, and they are very good.
Surprise,
it's a good rivalry.
I know that.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. it's a very good rivalry between Boston and Pittsburgh, so it's always good. It's not Flyers-Penguins type rivalry, but it's still good, and it's good to get a win against a good team. Boston came into that game 8-0-2 in their last 10. Pittsburgh was 2-8 in their last 10. So definitely a big win. Now the Penguins go on their mandated six-day bye week for the NHL. So they come back with Detroit next Saturday, which will be a good one. I believe that one also is at home at PPG Paints Arena. So yeah, good game. Thank you again to Brittany for doing that for me. It was always great to take in a hockey game. If you've never been to one, please go to one. Go down and see the Blue Jackets. Go over and see the Penguins, whatever you prefer. But you go to a game and it's so much more exciting. It's very fast-paced, crazy. When you see a guy get his face splattered all over the boards in front of you, pretty good stuff.
Nice night last evening for hockey. Columbus over Florida 3-2 and shootout fashion. Two things I don't like about hockey: how they do their standings.
Points. Yeah. Goes off of points.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fan. Also, how games can end in ties. Not a fan.
No, they can't now because it goes to shootout.
Well, how, you just said someone was 8-0-2 in
their
last.
Yeah, it was the two losses, and you still get a point for an overtime loss, so that's why they were actually two overtime losses or two shootout losses, but you still get a point for losing in overtime.
So those aren't ties?
No.
At
there's
the
no
end
more
there?
Ties. No more ties.
All right,
they
so
have shootouts.
Now there's one major thing I don't like about hockey, and that's the way...
I changed your feeling.
That's the way they do their standings. Hey, we're on Facebook Live, brought to you by Speedy Septic. Chris, tell them a little more about Speedy Septic there in Strasburg for us. Big sponsor of ours for Facebook Live.
Absolutely. Speedy Sewer and Septic Cleaning is here to help you keep your septic out of sight and out of mind. Your septic system needs to be pumped and maintained to eliminate costly and messy backup. Speedy is here to handle all of your liquid waste removal needs. Make sure you give them a call, 330-878-5423. If you need an inspection, pumping, drain and sewer cleaning with camera verification, whatever you need, call Speedy Septic and Drain Cleaning in Strasburg, our Facebook Live presenter.
Yes, thanks to those folks out there. Remember, Friday, our Big Z Sports Show starts right at 6 o'clock. I want to pass this note along. Obviously, today, a lot of cancellations and closings for schools throughout the area. Now, this we received from Indian Valley. I'm pretty sure maybe some other schools out there canceling some basketball games tonight. Middle school boys, middle school girls basketball for Indian Valley canceled tonight. Also, freshman boys basketball at Garaway, that's canceled tonight. That was Indian Valley. And then a boys and girls bowling at Harrison Central for Indian Valley. That's canceled tonight as well. But that's middle school boys basketball at Garaway. Not happening. Girls basketball for middle school. That's Indian Valley versus Garaway. Not happening. Freshman boys, not happening. So check your local sports schedules. I'm sure a lot of the action tonight probably going to be canceled.
Yeah, if you're out there on the roads, be safe, be careful. It's a little slick. I know the snow's supposed to be gone, but a little bit of spitting snow and freezing rain this afternoon yet. Roads are slippery. I'm sure they were slick when you came in this morning. Still slick out there. Be careful, be safe out there if you're on
couple
the roads.
Couple other parting notes. Joe Geckler, hope you feel better because
yes,
tomorrow
definitely.
We have to go to Indian Valley High School. They'll be playing. Who are they playing tomorrow night, do you know, for basketball?
I do not know who they play, but yeah, you guys present a big award.
Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow. Big Z Sports will be to present Caden Hostetler and Matt Lancaster. Of course, so those two folks, big for the Braves football program. Our Big Z Sports Coach and Player of the Year awards will be presented to those folks tomorrow night at halftime of the Indian Valley basketball game. So if you guys want to come check that out tomorrow, a nice little award ceremony at halftime, make sure you come join us. Big Z Sports will be on hand tomorrow for that.
Should be a good time. I am sad that I will miss that. Of course, I have to go back to the day job.
Back to work, will
you? Back to the day job. So, yeah, definitely, Joe, hope you feel better, buddy. He didn't sound good when he called me this morning, and yeah, get better. I'm glad he didn't come in here because I don't want it.
Chicken noodle soup. and lots of fluids.
Isn't that a song?
Chicken noodle soup and soda on the side.
Yeah, there you go.
Look it up.
Remember that?
Big Z Sports Podcast, presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Check them out on Facebook. Also online, AESRacing.com. Go see their amazing, beautiful showroom. Also, don't forget about their service department as well. For all the most recent in ATV technology, the hottest new snowmobiles. How about a snowmobile right now?
Might as well. You go ride it on a lake right now,
yeah,
right?
They can help you find that recreational vehicle that's made just for you. Action Extreme Sports, AESRacing.com. Audio version of this podcast on our website, WTUZ.com. And that's our weekly podcast this week. For Joe, feel better, buddy. For Chris Kale, thanks, Chris.
Yes, sir.
And I'm Eric McElroy. We will be back on Friday for the Big Z Sports Show starting at 6 o'clock.